From KMUW Wichita.
From Toronto, Ontario.
And from Armenia, Spain.
This is You're Saying It Wrong. Let's talk words. Let's talk stocks, bubbles, tulips, and the Dutch. Trust me, it'll all make sense. I'm Fletcher Powell, host and producer at KMUW in Wichita, Kansas. And joining me, as they do each week, language experts and New York Times bestselling authors, Kathy Petras and Ross Petras. Well, hello, Kathy Petras there at your home in Armenia. Hello, Ross Petras. You are at your home in Toronto. And who knows what the next 10 minutes even holds, not withstanding the next day or week. But lately, we've had a little bit of stock market turmoil, I would say. Is that putting it kindly?
Yes, yes. Fletcher, it is.
Turmoil, blood, yes. Death. Yeah. Take your
but
pick.
What interested us the most, actually, during this, besides like watching the plummet, was that there were a lot of words related to it. And then suddenly we realized something. And I'm going to ask you right now, people are bandying about words like recession, depression, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And what is the technical definition between recession and depression?
I'm sorry, Ross, you meant what's the technical difference?
Oh, difference. Okay, yes. Between recession and depression.
I definitely don't know the difference between those two. I would have assumed that depression maybe is not actually a technical term, like with numbers associated with it, whereas recession, I think, is two quarters in a row of negative growth.
Wow, Fletcher.
You're good.
I think in Wall Street, people, a long time ago, I worked at a bank, and I remember the difference they said was a recession is when the other guy loses a job. Depression is when you lose your job.
Yeah,
I think that's a good...
I was going to say depression makes you more depressed than a recession.
Yeah, with the recession, you're just recessed. But yeah, you basically have it about right, Fletcher. Technically, I mean, there are a lot of different definitions, and people are saying basically it's like a couple of quarters of a significant decline in economic activity. Depression, some people say it's like a 10% downturn. But you're basically right. Recession's two quarters of a downturn. Depression is three or more years, a 10% in a given year downturn.
Oh.
A downturn in the real domestic gross domestic product of at least 10% in a given year.
Which I was going to say is, what is gross domestic product?
GDP.
It's all the stuff.
It's the groceries.
But it is all the stuff, basically. It's a measure of the total value of all goods and services produced in a country or region over a specific period of time. And then you net out things like, are foreigners making the money, et cetera. But the key thing is basically it's just the total value of goods and services. Mm-hmm. And now, finally, we have something other horrible little thing coming up with the economy, which is a possibility. It's called stagflation.
Oh, yeah. Stagflation. Okay, so obviously stagnant is part of that. That's when the economy doesn't grow, but inflation does. Is that right?
Exactly. Yep. Very good.
God,
exactly.
Very good, Fletcher.
As a kid, I don't know about you guys, I was fascinated with the term stagflation.
I was too, Kathy. I definitely was. Yeah, I loved it.
Yeah, no, there's something about it. It sounded really like important, but it also sort of sounded like, I don't know, centaurs or unicorns or something.
Well, it is a little bit, right? I mean, you're taking a couple different concepts and smashing them together, because usually you're going to have inflation while the economy is growing, right?
Yes.
I mean, when it's on fire, everything's going up. And
yeah.
And that's kind of what was happening, you know, the past few years.
Mm-hmm. We've had inflation, but it's very small inflation. A little inflation is always thought to be fairly good for an economy. A little bit of inflation because people want to like invest their money into like productive assets, which, you know, increases production as well, GDP. Mm-hmm. One quick question, though. It always fascinated me. Do you know where stagnant comes from, the word?
The word stagnant?
Yeah.
No, I always think of, like, gross water that's just sitting there.
Yeah, that's about right. In Latin and in ancient Greek, it means, like, a pond or a swamp.
Oh, really? Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
I always like that.
Yeah, I always like that, too.
I like, though, that inflation comes from the Latin puffing up, blowing into, or flatulence.
Yeah. The flatulence part.
Works for me.
But it's also blowing water on the swamp, which is sort of cool in a way, I guess.
Stagflation?
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
Okay, now we're going to take a really bad segue. Uh-huh. We talked about the stock
market. I
beg
your pardon, Ross. This was my idea for a segue, and I think it's a very good one.
I'll give you credit on that. Why don't you take over
the segue? Throwing it on my lap, are we?
Yes.
Have you heard, Fletcher, about tulipomania? Okay, it's spring, is it not?
It is.
Yes, it is.
Yes. The tulips are in bloom.
Indeed they are. But have you heard about the tulipomania?
Now, not exactly, but since we were talking about the stock market, I do know that there was like a tulip bubble.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
In the Netherlands,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
Can you explain that a little more?
Actually, first of all, to counter Kathy's brilliant segue, the tulipomania actually occurred a couple of months before spring because they're basically were dealing with bulbs. The whole thing was a craze started in Holland over tulips, which are really pretty, you know, were pretty flowers. And they basically, when the Dutch were trading with the Turks, they basically discovered that Turks were using this, had this flower, beautiful flower called a tulip. And they brought it to Holland, and a craze began over who could grow the best tulips, the prettiest tulips, etc. And then pretty soon people were trading tulip bulbs, and basically the prices started skyrocketing to the extent where one tulip bulb could basically be worth an entire farm or something.
Oh my gosh.
Mm-hmm.
What was the time period here?
It was the 1600s.
Yeah, the 1630s, basically.
And all was well until February of 1637, which is in effect October 1929, if you will.
Was there like a tulip blight or something, or did the bubble just pop?
Bubble popped.
Yeah.
Big time popped.
Crazy.
The one thing about this is two things. First of all, people, they used to think this was very typical and it ruined a lot of Dutch traders. But recent analyses have basically said it really just only hurt a few people who were tulip nuts. Everyone else was fine. And I think we've had that. Didn't they have that a couple, about like 10 or 15 years ago? I forget what they were called. Beanie Babies or something like that?
Sure.
Oh, Beanie Babies. Yeah. Everybody was buying them. And what was that, in 2000?
I was going to say, I think it was more that was more like 25 or 30 years ago, I think. But
oh, okay. Yeah. But I remember reading about that. That like skyrocketed up and then it collapsed again. I mean, you do see that with collectibles almost all the time. But anyway, that led us to something else. I'm going to use the next segue, which was tulips. We were talking about Holland, and tulip is, first of all, not a Dutch word. It comes from the Turkish dulbent, which comes from the Persian dulban, turban, because the flowers look like turbans.
Mm-hmm.
But the Dutch people introduced many words into English, and we didn't really realize
one of them was tulip, which is not
actually
Dutch.
To be fair, the Dutch took the word tulip and gave it to the English. They took a Persian word from the Turkish word from the Persian, gave it to themselves, and then gave it to us. We do have tulip from the Dutch.
Thank you.
But there are a lot of words that are really Dutch, and they came into English, which we were surprised. Well, we could say we were surprised, but a lot of people are surprised that there's so many words come from the Dutch. And that's what we're going to give you a little quiz now.
Before we do that, and you may not know all the answers here, but we're talking about the country of the Netherlands.
Right.
You've been calling it Holland. We call the people Dutch people. Where do all of these different names come from?
Well, Dutch obviously is related to, guess what? Deutsch.
Oh,
so Dutch has
okay.
a German accent to it.
Dutch initially actually meant of or relating to the people of Germany.
Germany, exactly.
The word Dutch.
Yeah, Holland it was a province. I should have really probably said the Netherlands. It's a province of the Netherlands.
It is a little tangled web, though, interestingly enough.
It is, and it's going to get even more tangled in a few minutes because we're going to go into Dutch words in English.
Nice, Ross. That was very deft.
Thank you. Good segue.
Yes. Better than my tulips.
But it's interesting because Dutch has, I mean, because they were across from the North Sea, they were relatively close to England and therefore to Anglo-Saxons, etc. So a lot of words, basically, Dutch came into English in various waves. The first wave was just basically a long time ago. And Dutch is obviously a Germanic language, but there are differences between German and Dutch, which I thought was really interesting. Like five, for example, in German is fünf, But English and Dutch and most German languages, Germanic languages, something like that. But English and Dutch share a different five, which is five in English and vijf or something like that in Dutch. So there were like early contacts. Then there was another wave from Middle Dutch, which this is what I didn't know. When the Normans invaded England, the Norman French, who were mostly Norsemen, about a third of them actually were Flemish, who spoke, you know, Flemish is a Dutch language. Mm-hmm. They brought in Dutch into English as well. And then we have, Kathy,
you want to talk about... No, but wait a second. So they brought, they didn't break Flemish, they brought Dutch?
Well, Flemish is a Dutch, Flemish is a Dutch language.
But it wasn't Dutch qua Dutch.
But it's a Dutch speaking, it's basically, okay. They were speaking basically, they were speaking Dutch and Flemish, but both of them are interchangeable in many ways too. Although now I'm going to get like angry calls from Flemish people saying, no, that's not true, but...
No, it's funny, because I was just going to say, I have a friend here who is Belgian, Flemish Belgian, who always gets outraged if anyone refers to her as Dutch.
I was just thinking, Kathy, I have the same problem here. It's funny, I have the exact same thing. A Belgian Flemish person who's like, I'm not Dutch. I know, mm-hmm, whatever. Mm-hmm. But there's very much of a similarity, and there's some thought that that also came into English that way. And then we have the modern Dutch, Kathy.
This was called the Dutch Golden Age in the 17th century. Dutch trade, science, military, art, it was all huge. And a lot of English words of Dutch origin stemmed from this period. And that was when we had that where Ross and I grew up. It was a very Dutch area, Ridgewood, New Jersey, Bergen County. And not Pennsylvania Dutch, but Dutch.
Yeah, it was basically a baseline thing. I kind of thought Dutch were much more common than they were because of that, I think. Remember that, Kath? I mean, with like the name Van.
Yeah, all the Van names. Riper, I thought it was just, Van, yeah, Dyke, Rensselaer. Van. Yeah.
Yeah, all of that. Anyway, let's go on to our quiz. We're going to give you a question, and then you're going to ask you which is from the Dutch, which word. The first one is really tough, Fletcher. We're going to start out with like one of the toughest ones of all. Uh-huh. Which animal is from the Dutch? Antelope? Aardvark? Or armadillo.
This is one I may actually be able to do. I do not do well with Dutch. This is one of the stranger languages to me. But aardvark, right, is what we're talking about.
Yes.
Here. Yeah.
Exactly.
Very good. I'm keeping score here. So
oh,
got
God.
One right.
Okay, I got one. At least I'm not going to get shut out today. What does aardvark mean? Like, do the parts of it mean like something like ant dog or something?
Well, you're kind of close. It's earth pig.
Earth pig.
Aard is earth, and then vark is pig.
Uh huh.
Varken is small pig.
I really like that one, actually. I like
do
it
too.
When it's a nice, clean. I loved the etymology of this because I didn't realize the pie root, the Proto Indo-European. I say pie, I know you're supposed to say PIE, is porco means young pig.
Oh.
I love that.
Porco's young pig, yeah. Exactly.
Okay, we got a toughie.
Okay.
Which behavioral word is from the Dutch? Mm. Aloof, austere, standoffish. Or standoffish.
Well, I mean, the one that seems like it would be is aloof. Are you going to tell me it's...
Is that your answer?
Yeah, I'll make that my answer, but somehow you're going to tell me it's standoffish.
Damn, I was trying to get you off of it.
That's
aloof.
Depressing. I think, Kathy, you should have let him think about it more. Because I put standoffish in because I thought that sounded Dutch to me, the off part.
What?
But you're actually correct. It's aloof. I'm going to ask you now, since you got this correct, mm-hmm. we're going to try to get you incorrect in a second. Can you give me the etymology, the idea behind aloof? This is really sort of interesting.
Wow. I think this is really interesting. I really like this one. It's as good as porco.
Oh, cool. But no, I definitely have no idea.
Well, this apparently goes from the word, it actually comes from a nautical basis. The Middle Dutch loif or loof was the weather side of a ship facing the weather. So you keep the ship apparently head to the wind. And this is getting really
you want a loof.
Nautical. Yeah.
Don't you say that? I don't know. I never sailed.
My husband was in the Navy. He knows his stuff.
No, me neither. I was on the beach on my towel.
Yeah.
You want a loof, don't you? Loof?
Yeah.
Loof? What?
But you're trying to keep the, apparently you're staying clear of the lee shore at a distance, but within view, but apart from the...
When you luff, you're trying to alter the ship's course, but it involves somehow the windward side of the ship, the Dutch loof.
Well, so like the side that's away from the wind or the weather is a lee. I know that from my crossword puzzles. So the side that is toward the wind or the weather is a loof?
Middle English loof is windward direction.
Huh.
The weather side of a ship. You know, we're going to get calls from people who were definite sailors.
I just learned you also talk about wending the luff. I don't know what that means.
I think the key thing really is you're sailing and you're trying to keep your ship apart or away from the problem.
Mm-hmm.
And that relates basically to aloof in terms of you're away from the aspect of removed emotionally from things.
We do have a large contingent, though, of Dutch sailors who probably will let us know what's going on here.
Yeah. Okay, we did aloof. Now we're going to do av words. Which av word is from the Dutch? Avast, avert, avenger.
Avast, avert, avenger. See, I don't have any double letters there to tip me off.
Okay, pretend they all have a double A at the beginning.
Like aardvark. Avast, avert. Yeah.
But I can imagine avert being spelled like A-V-E-E-R-T. So I'm going to go with avert.
Bad guess.
Okay.
I like that concept, though, with a double E. I could see that as well. I would think that would be more South African, but that's fine.
Oh, you're right.
I loved Avast, though, because it's really cool.
It's Avast.
Because Avast basically means hold, stop.
Uh-huh.
And they think it comes from the Dutch hoedvast, hold fast.
Oh.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
I want to also point out this, too, is nautical.
Yeah.
Because you go avast, ye swabbies.
Very good, Kathy. You sound very much like a... you really got that nautical stuff, too. Let's go sailing.
Yeah, getting more letters from Dutch sailors now.
Uh-oh. Sadly, Fletcher, avert is from the Latin.
Ah, okay.
So of course avertere, which is to turn away.
All right.
We're going to the bees right here. This should be easy. Which one is based on Dutch? Bazaar, spelled B-A-Z-A-A-R, not bizarre.
This is
a bizarre quiz. Bazooka, or the mineral bazite.
Wow.
Oh, bazite is B-A-Z-Z-I-T-E.
Oh, gosh, none of these seem right. I'll go with bazite then.
I'm proud of that one, I have to say.
It doesn't seem like it could be bizarre. Bizarre seems like from a different place. And I thought bazooka was American, frankly. So which is it?
Bazooka.
It is bazooka.
See, I would have thought bizarre because of the double A, personally.
Yeah, I thought you were trying to trick me with that one. Also, I assumed bazaars were, you know, Asian or something.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't have guessed bizarre at all.
Yeah.
Having been in the Middle East a lot, yeah.
So no, bazooka, does it come straight from Dutch or is it sort of a...
Not really. This is kind of a cheat.
It's a cheat, actually. Yeah.
It is indeed a word that was born in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
They think it was as the notion of the rocket launcher.
But it was conceived in Holland or in Netherlands. Go on now. I just wanted to say...
Well, because it came from an instrument... A junkyard musical instrument, a tube that a comedian used in the 30s. And the word came from bazoo, meaning mouth or boastful talk, which came from the Dutch bazoon, meaning trumpet.
Aha. Wow.
It's a little tortuous.
Yeah, but it's still there. It's still Dutch. Bazite, we have to do one. Bazite, we were going to do one of these days. We're going to do one with eponyms, you know, words that come from people's names. And bazite is one of them. It comes from an Italian engineer, Alessandro Bazzi.
Ah, very
who
good.
Who discovered a mineral, bazite.
Yeah.
Now, if you could tell me what bazite is, Fletcher, you will win a lot of money.
I have never heard of bazite. I have never.
Until I put this one in, I've never heard of it either. Until we put this one in, we never heard of it either.
It also looks fake. If somebody had that on a list of, like, which of these is not a mineral, I would have picked bazite.
Oh, for sure, yeah.
You know what I mean? It's fake.
But obviously it's a silicate of scandium.
Sure. Yeah, obviously.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
Fletcher, which B-E word is Dutch? Beleaguer, below, belt, or belligerent?
Not beleaguer. not belligerent. Below or belt? Below doesn't seem like anything like the word for below in like romance languages. Let's go with below.
It was beleaguer, which
no,
you so
is it
confidently
really?
Said.
Oh, no. See, because we've talked about beleaguer before, and I certainly didn't remember it being Dutch.
Well, maybe it's a good time to review the talks. The root word is, the leaguer part comes from a root word, leg, lie down.
Okay.
But to be beleaguered ended up meaning to be surrounded, besieged.
Right, because the B part is around or about.
Oh, okay.
And then lying down is basically you're making a camp. So you're legerin, which is you're camping, you're lying down. And then there are people around the camp. So therefore you're being besieged.
Oh, man. I didn't remember that very well at all. So legerin, whatever, is from Dutch?
It's P-I-E that went into the from Proto-Germanic and then went into the Dutch. Yes.
Okay.
And then the word came during the Flemish Wars when the when you know they were being besieged by, I guess, the Spanish.
Oh, boy.
So. I was fascinated about how below was so rare in English.
That one really
initially.
Got me. I know. That was really interesting.
Wait, what do you mean? What do you mean so rare?
It wasn't commonly used in English up until about the 1500s, and then It started becoming more common.
Yeah, what was common was beneath would have been used instead of below.
Below, beneath, below. Interesting.
Yeah, that was just one of those that you would have thought, I don't know, I would have thought below seems like such a common concept.
Right.
And the word itself is such a simple one. I would have thought...
Here's a little interesting bit of folk etymology. I mean, this is probably folk etymology because no one really knows. But the word belt is thought by some, to believe it or not, to be Etruscan, like the lost language of, you know, of Etruria, the Etruscans. Latin, it comes from Latin beltius, but then Varro, who was a Latin grammarian, who's kind of a nut, said it was Etruscan word, which I thought was sort of cool.
Okay, now... Which fighting word is probably, this is not definite, but probably Dutch? Brawl, hassle, bicker.
Woof. Brawl, hassle, or bicker. They're all kind of compelling. Let's go with bicker then. That one sounds cute.
Ooh.
Sure. Good.
I got it.
Good guess.
Okay.
But, wait a second.
But maybe not, huh?
There's another one
of those. Well, no wonder they all sounded good to me. Also, hassle.
No.
Okay.
Brawl.
So you get one on this one.
The hassle was sort of cool because I didn't realize, the hassle I did not know. It's from apparently, they think, American English. It's a U.S. Southern dialectical word, which they think may have come from harass, or it may be a variant of hazel, the name of a plant that people would use to whip people with.
But they thought harass actually came from hazel.
Yeah, I'm sorry, yeah.
Yeah, they thought that hazel is the root of it, that was a switch, and harass came from a variant of that word.
Harassed?
Which I don't hear harass and hazel, personally. Do
no,
you?
I don't either. But, you know, maybe they went hazel or something like that.
But that doesn't have an R in it.
Hazel. I can't do it.
I'm trying to get the R in there. That was an odd one.
There's one other interesting little aspect here. This is really minor and it's grammatical. But in Dutch, like bicker was bicken and brawl was brawlen. And then when it came into English, they chop off the EN ending and they put the ER, which means it's called a frequentative subsequent. It means it happens over and over again. So bicken became bicker, brawlin became brawler, which is, I thought was sort of interesting.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Anyway, which wood-related, now this is, we're getting a little technical here.
Oh, good.
Which wood-related word is from the Dutch? Branch, trunk, or block?
Oh, boy.
The wood-related aspect here, yes.
Branch, trunk, or block?
Right.
Goodness gracious. How far removed are these?
Not that much. No, not
very
far.
The one that's correct is not.
Yeah, not very far at all.
Man, I am just not good at Dutch. Let's go with branch. We'll go with branch. Man.
You are being a blockhead.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay.
It's block.
Block
as in being rude.
B-L-O-C-K. block.
Correct.
In the Dutch, it was BLOC.
Oh, which we also have a BLOC.
Mm-hmm, we do, but that's a different block.
Yeah.
This is a trunk. Actually, is it? That's a really good question, Fletcher. As
I'm going to check right now, Ross.
I know,
as you
Fletcher
speak.
Is. We're going to keep talking, and then we're going to brilliantly know it.
Okay. Bloc, in reference to alliances, came from the French bloc, BLOC, group bloc, from the old French bloc, meaning piece of wood.
Okay, so they came from. Okay.
They're the same.
Yeah. Because this came from Middle Dutch, block, chunk of a tree.
So this is this one of those deals where the Normans, some of them were Flemish?
We don't know, but our guess is that.
Yeah, yes. Interesting. Okay.
I thought that trunk to me would have sounded to me very Dutch as well. But it comes from the Latin truncus. But the danger we always get into, where did the Latins get truncus from? That's a question.
Yeah. It's funny that you say it would have sounded very Dutch to you. That's part of my problem with these, is that I don't know what something sounding very Dutch sounds like.
Mm. Mm-hmm. I think that Ross, you and I, because of Ridgewood, have a little bit of it,
yeah.
Just haven't seen so much. I mean, and again, I know when we were just, Randy and I, in Amsterdam, I mean, he was having problems because he kept reverting to German all the time because there's so many similarities. But for me, it was a lot of it was New Jersey, you know?
Yeah, then also, look, you know, my daughter-in-law is from a Dutch family, and I just hear it all the time. So it doesn't really...
I don't. I never hear Dutch.
Okay, let's have a drink and calm ourselves down. Which Dutch drink is from the Dutch? Or which drink is from the Dutch? Let's be fair about that. It's not a Dutch drink. Cider, brandy, or whiskey?
Brandy, then. It's brandy.
Are you sure it's brandy, Fletcher? I'm giving you one chance.
Yes, I'm sticking with brandy.
Yeah, I can't catch you again with that. Yes. Yes, it comes from the Dutch brandewijn, meaning burnt wine.
Oh, really? Okay, I've heard, that's interesting. I've heard that somewhere. Not the burnt wine, but the, I'm not going to try to say it. Brandy
I'm
wine,
sure I
basically.
Said it incorrectly, right? So you can say it if you want.
Yeah. Oh, fascinating. I assumed cider was like French, and I know whiskey, or at least it's always said that whiskey is like Gaelic or something.
Right, exactly. I agree with you about cider and whiskey, but brandy to me did not sound Dutch.
Yeah.
No,
none
it didn't
of them
to me
did
either.
To me, frankly.
I agree with you. None of them did to me. I thought it was really cool, though, some of the origins. Like cider, can you guess the original cider or one of the earliest cider origins?
No, I don't know.
It seems to come from, it seems to have come into the language via the Hebrew, shechar, which is a word used for any strong drink. I thought that was really interesting.
Oh, interesting.
Mm-hmm. I didn't know that. I mean, here we have cedro all the time. I mean, we don't because I don't care for it, but it's around all the time.
I don't know if it's a cider person. No.
No, I always feel guilty because everyone's like, oh.
I do too. Everyone always goes, we went to the cider place and yeah. There's a lot of cider here. We went to like one of those like, you know, craft cider places and everyone was like, "Ooh, this is great." And I was like, "It's okay. I don't know.
Yeah,
I can't get
we
into
were
it.
In we went up north last year for like a week or something vacation. Like the nice lady gave us a bottle of cider in our room and I was like, "Crap, what are we going to do with this?"
No, you know? I know what you mean.
We had to take it. You know?
No, I know what you mean. I just do not love it. Whiskey I thought was also interesting. Kath, you want to explain whiskey? I thought it was really cool.
As you said, it comes from the Gaelic, from the Old Irish, meaning water. Which I liked, and life.
Yeah.
Life water.
Right.
That's, I really like that. Which is eau de vie in French is brandy, which is, we know, comes from the Dutch.
Yeah.
Which
oh,
is
fascinating.
Interesting,
that is really interesting.
And those are like a direct lone translation, which is really cool,
I
think. Like aqua vitae would be the medieval Latin for water of life. And then they literally translated each word into Latin, I mean, into Irish or Gaelic. And then they got whiskey, same thing as aqua vitae, water of life, which is really
how
cool.
Fun,
yeah,
actually.
I love those.
Yeah.
I do love seeing like one of the spellings in English, which was from the, was it from the Irish or it looks like Scottish to me, Iskey Bay.
I know.
I-S-K-I-E-B-A-E. I just adore that. That's just so fun.
Do you guys spell whiskey with or without the E?
I do it with an E if it's not Scotch or if it's not Irish.
Okay.
If it's Scotch whiskey or Irish whiskey, I do it without the E. Yeah.
I don't like it without
the E. What about you, Ross?
I rarely spell whiskey. I'm just looking, I was typing it out. And
I hang around with all the wrong people. Yeah.
I guess I would do it with an E, actually, when I look at it. I like wine better, though. No cider, no whiskey. Anyway.
So. I just have to add that I love, in American English, whiskified became a term for intoxicated.
I like that word. I like that a lot. Okay. Which word referring to the tactic of delaying things in the legislature? Now that we're getting really technical
this sounds
here.
Very specific.
Well, a few weeks ago,
we don't
Cory
fool
Booker.
Around, Fletcher. Yeah,
a few weeks ago, Cory Booker was doing this, I think. Uh-huh. Remember that in the
not technically, Ross. Not technically.
Not technically, but sort of. Okay, let's.
I think just to get even more in the weeds, I think eventually it was technically a filibuster.
Okay.
Oh, was
because
it?
Because he did eventually delay the proceedings.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
So which word referring to the tactic of delaying things in the legislature comes from the Dutch? Filibustering, lollygagging, or stonewalling?
Well, the only one I know is a term for delaying something in the legislature is filibuster, so I guess I'll go with that, but that one doesn't feel Dutch to me. I mean, so that's going to be my answer, but stonewalling seems closer.
Stonewall. It's not Dutch at all. That's like the most un-Dutch pronunciation I've ever heard.
I thought maybe like way back there somehow.
Stunned.
So what are we going with? Yeah.
My answer is filibuster because it's the only one that actually fits your question.
But... Ross.
But that'll be my answer.
Okay, I'm depressed because I should have done a different opening question.
Yes, you should have, because you're right.
But okay, but let's throw Fletcher something else here. Okay, Fletcher, you're right. It's from the Dutch. Now, you're so confident about this. Tell us the origin. Does it relate to senators basically legislators in the Dutch? Were they called something? Or does it relate to friendship? Filio? Piracy?
Filio.
Yeah.
I want to say it probably relates to a man named Philip Oster.
Ooh. I like that.
Yeah, that's
actually
a good one. But, yeah, but also clever
also wrong.
It relates to a pirate, which I would never have thought of.
Oh,
a
okay.
West Indian buccaneer of the 17th century. Flibitor. Probably and ultimately from the Dutch. Okay, Ross, since you're so good at pronouncing the Dutch.
I'm really not, but one of my friends said I was, but I'm not going to, I don't know the, Vrieboeter.
Very good.
Thanks. I don't think it's very good, but I tried. Vrieboeter.
And in Spanish, they were called filibusteros.
Right.
Interesting.
But it's freebooter, basically.
Yeah. Wow.
And then this is really cool. I'm sorry, before you go, this is really cool. The Spanish, vrieboeter, the Spanish got the I in there. When they translate to Spanish, it'll be vrieboeter. And then when they came into French, because these guys were all around the West Indies, they put an S in. So vrieboeter became vrieboeter, then it became filibuster. Isn't that cool?
Well, so how did all of that turn into delaying something in the legislature?
It was pirating. Legislators were pirating debate, is what was happening.
Okay.
Yeah, it didn't happen until 1865.
Yeah. The pirating debate is a very recent idea. The previous meaning basically was buccaneer guys. Basically,
yeah, it was lawless adventurers who were trying to overthrow things.
But then, you know, when you get to the legislature, these guys are basically violating, in effect, the rules of the legislature. They were being obstructionists. They were pirates. And that's where it came into being.
That's really cool. This is one of those cases where the etymology is fascinating and just fun, you know?
So when Mr. Smith went to Washington, he should have been wearing an eye patch.
Yes.
And a parrot.
You're Saying It Wrong is part of the NPR network and is produced in the studios of KMUW in Wichita, Kansas by me, Fletcher Powell. Kathy Petrus records from her home in Armilla, Spain. Ross Petrus from his home in Toronto, Ontario in Canada. Torrin Anderson composed our theme music, and our digital team is Beth Golay, Kate Hutchins, and Carly Cooper. You can find all of our past episodes by subscribing to the You're Saying It Wrong podcast wherever you get your podcasts, or by visiting us at kmuw.org. If you have a question for Kathy and Ross, if you'd like to suggest a topic, or you just want to reach out, you can email me at powell@kmuw.org or email them at kandrpetras@gmail.com. You can also email us a voice memo of you asking it your question. You might get your voice heard on air. If you'd like to do the same thing by downloading the KMUW app, you can do that and just click the Talk to Us button. You can find all of Kathy and Ross's books pretty much anywhere you get books, and a handful of them are also available on audiobook, read by the authors themselves. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back next week.
This is Tanya Mosley, co-host of Fresh Air. You'll see your favorite actors, directors, and comedians on late-night TV shows or YouTube. But what you get with Fresh Air is a deep dive. Spend some quality time with people like Billie Eilish, Questlove, Ariana Grande, Stephen Colbert, and so many more. We ask questions you won't hear asked anywhere else. Listen to the Fresh Air podcast from NPR and WHYY.